The rest of us, Matthew chapter 9 and Psalm 77 this morning. Last week I mentioned that it is just a few weeks from Thanksgiving, probably more than a few weeks at the time, but now it's 3 weeks. I think that's correct. I really appreciate the fact that Stan was up here talking about the promises of God, reminding us how valuable his promises are, not only in our own lives, but also in our eternal lives, but also in the life of this congregation, in the life of this church, which is over 100 years of service for the kingdom of God, this church, Oak Grove Christian Church. Over 100 years, God's been using Oak Grove for his will, for his purposes, to be a blessing in this community and in your lives. Some have come and gone, and some are passed on and with the Lord over those years, right? But God still remains, and his promises are still there, and they're still just as valuable as they ever have been. We talked about new wine and old wineskins, and how bad that is. Talk about new wineskins and the value of new blessings and new ministries and new things that God's doing in our lives and in the lives of the church, and the effort that he wants to put out into this community right here in Arden, North Carolina, and surrounding areas. I'm a person who believes that everything and every person God arranges for his will, according to his plan, and according to his purposes, we're all tools in his toolbox. Every congregation around the world of believers that are Christian folks, he's got them right where he wants them so that he can do the work that he sent us all to do. You individually are also a tool that God created for his purposes, specific purposes, right? We might be similar types of tools in God's toolbox, but there's only one job that God is going to pick you to do. He created you and gifted you and is bringing you up in Christ for a purpose, is to go into the world and make disciples in only a way that you can do. Now, we might be able to do it in similar ways. We might even be able to go do it together as a church family, and we do that. But we're even a church family because God brought all of you together, all of us together, handpicked to be this family for this time in history. If you notice on the board up there on the PowerPoint, you'll see a picture of this building that you're sitting in. And if you've been here long enough, you'll recognize a picture of that other building. If you're newer here, then you may have never seen that building. And it looks different now today than it ever did when y'all were worshiping there. That's the original church building right there. And God did a lot of great things in that building, didn't he? In that place in the world, about 4.5 miles that way. When we read in Luke last week, it's going to be the same thing I'm going to read out of Matthew in chapter 9. And I want to kind of read that again. It's the same. It's the same account, the same situation. Matthew chapter 9, in verses 14 through 17. Again, it's the same. It's just a different account of it. The disciples of John came to ask him, asking, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Your disciples do not fast." And Jesus said to them, "The attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and they will fast. But no one puts a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and a worse tear results." And finally in verse 17, "Nor do people put new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the wineskins burst and the wine pours out and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into fresh wineskins and both are preserved." And both are preserved, he said. The new, so he's saying, I'm the new. Jesus is saying to them, I'm the bridegroom. I'm the bridegroom. I'm the new. And we can't pour me into the law, because the law doesn't work. The law is the old wineskin. We need new wineskin, which is grace, you see. And the ministry of the gospel is the new wine. It's the new way. It's the new covenant. It's the new promise from God, you see. And he's saying those things because he's being questioned about the way he's living, the way his motives are, and he's teaching them the ways of God. And in our lives and in the church, we have to continue to be stretched and continue to be molded in his will, so that we can continue to do the ministry that Jesus died for us all to do in our own lives, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, here at the church, and in the community that the church is surrounded by. Now, memory, right? Let me just say, we can honor God's faithfulness in the past by remembering all the things that he has done in our lives, for our families. All the things he's done for Oak Grove, right? I've been here for 7 years now, and I've heard a lot of different folks talk about a lot of different things about the way it used to be and the great things that were going on all the way up until we moved into this building. And when I hear those stories, oftentimes I sit back and wish I was around to be a part of it, because it sounds great to me. Sounds like a great church family. Sounds like the Lord was really doing a lot of great things. And don't sit there and think I haven't heard or known about some of the not so great things that's happened at Oak Grove. Because if things aren't friction, if there's no friction, then it's not real family. Am I right? Hello? You can say amen to that, because y'all got families. And y'all know there's friction sometimes when you're close to people. That's just part of life. And if you think there's no friction in your family, you're probably the sandpaper. I'm going to let that one, that's an on the way home, or you'll be on the way home and be like, oh, I know what he meant now. Memory is a beautiful servant, but a terrible master. The memories that we have about the past, God can use those to help us grow and help us grow in our family relationships, help us grow as an individual, as a person, as a man or a woman, and become who God wants us to be because of we remember things. We remember the great things that God has done in my life, in your life. Or we remember the bad things that I got involved in that God forgave. I don't want to say ignored. He forgave those things. He cleaned up that mess. Because if we ever forget what we're saved from, we're going to be in trouble, y'all. So memories are important, and they're a valuable tool, but they are a terrible master. If you allow the memories of the way it used to be and what God did in the past to cause you to run your life because it's not that way anymore, then you might be in trouble. We give thanks for what was, but we live in what is. Hello? We give thanks for the way it used to be. I thank God that one day I was driving down the highway and I look at my beautiful wife and have no idea what I'm doing with my life. And I say, you know what? We got to start going to church. To this day, I have no reason to explain why I said that to her. I hadn't been thinking about it. Nobody's been badgering me, nothing. I just looked at her and said, we got to start going to church. And the Lord had his big holy toe in the doorway of my heart, and it's on to the races after that. And I wasn't going to be able to shut it, because he done called me. He done moved me to him. A few things I want to point out as we look into the future of Oak Grove, look into our future as a family and our individual homes and our lives as Christians. It all applies the same, y'all. All right, because God's made some promises. If you go into the world and you make disciples in the name of Jesus, right, teaching the gospel, he says, I will go with you wherever you go. That's a promise. from God. There's other promises in the Word of God. It says if you just put the gospel out there, it won't come back void. If you just love people, then you will. I will be pleased with you. It's not about making people get saved. It's not about convincing people to give in and say yes. It's just about loving people enough that they have an opportunity. Right? That's where we're going. Where we are right now, we're living in where we are right now. We're looking forward to where we're going. So this journey that we're taking in our messages is our Thanksgiving journey together. Because we're on our way to Thanksgiving holiday, right? And I want to prepare, I want to help us prepare to be truly and genuinely grateful when we sit around this fried turkey or baked turkey or whatever it is you're having on Thanksgiving supper. I hate to think that the believers would just sit around a table and watch football games and eat a bunch of food and make ourselves sick and then miss the opportunity for genuine gratitude to ooze out of us around our families as a witness to God's kingdom and our Savior. I don't want to miss that. I don't want y'all to miss that. But in order to be grateful today, we're going to remember God's faithfulness, right? We're going to remember how God has never failed us. Raise your hand if you think God's failed you. And don't think that's a silly question, because there's plenty of times in the world where people really start to believe maybe God's just failed me. Maybe God just don't care. Maybe God's not loving me. Maybe I'm just the exception, right? And that's a real situation for folks. And just because we're spiritually healthy and we're growing in Christ and we're doing the work don't mean we can't get there one day, because we have an enemy that's real and he's trying to get you away from what God wants for you. And doubt and fear and anxiety are a real tool that Satan will use against your faith. Psalm 77 in verse 11 to 15, here's what it says. I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. I shall remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your strength among the people. You have by your power redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Isn't that a great psalm? Just a portion of that psalm. And I wonder, when I read psalms, I wonder, the writer of the psalm, I kind of try to imagine what would cause somebody to write these words. What would be going on in their heart, right? Because if you just take that short excerpt out of the entire Psalm 77, you might say to yourself, man, he must be on the mountaintop. He must be totally blessed. No problems. Because it's easy to say those things about God when you're on the mountaintop and you don't have stress in your life. And no one's against you. Plenty of barbecue on the cooker. The kids are happy. The wife stopped spending money. Whatever your picture of happiness is what I'm saying. She don't. I spend more money than she does. Just don't let. Don't y'all think. What I'm saying is this writer, the writer of this psalm, he's writing all of this in distress in his life. He's saying all these things because he's trying to fight his doubt. And his fear and his anxiety and the darkness that comes over you. Sometimes you have to believe God even when you can't see God. Sometimes you have to believe in the promises of God even when you can't see where you're going in a world, in your life. Pam and I went recently to Tybee Island, and we went up top of this lighthouse for whatever reason. I have no idea. I mean, it was nice once I got up there, but daggone, that's a lot of steps. I was up there, I'm like, hey, this is a good view up here. That's how it was. But they got this big, there's a big light up there. obviously. It's a lighthouse. It's the biggest light bulb I've ever seen. Somebody's got, there's a whole house. There's like a house and a barn and another house and on the property. And the people, there's pictures in the museum there of all the people that live there, the lighthouse keepers. They live there, and that's what their job was, to make sure that light stayed on. And they'd have to go all the way up there, and they'd have to do everything to take care of it. And they'd polish up everything to make sure it was as bright as it could be. Sometimes we need to polish up our faith because things aren't so bright, maybe. Sometimes we don't, maybe we're not filled with anxiety or fear, but there's a little bit of doubt because we're uncertain about what's going on or what's coming on. Right? Have you ever had that tug of war in your heart? You're trying to be excited for what the Lord's doing, but you're also a little bit like trying to fight this doubt. I don't know what's. We're going to see what happens, right? And you want to step out in faith and say, yeah, the Lord can do it, but you don't want to be the only one out there, and then you're wrong because He won't do it. That's a real thing, isn't it? We want to have faith for the right thing so that we're not standing over here having faith for the wrong thing. And that's working against your faith. Look, here, this is just a tool I'm trying to give you. Remembering God's past is what clears the haze of doubt on your faith. You understand? How do I know God's going to do good things at Oak Grove? How do I know God's going to do great things for me and my family and for me as a preacher? How do I know that? Because I've seen Him do great things in the past. And I've heard about what He's done at Oak Grove for the last 100 years. And I've watched Him for the last 7 years do amazing things here at this church. And He's done so many great things since I've been around to witness. There's no way that I could take credit for any of it. There's no way that you could take credit for any of it, what God's done. A lot of stuff's been happening. A lot of people have been ministered to and blessed by Oak Grove and the people that are part of this family. Has it been easy? No. Has there been ups and downs? For sure. Has God ever let us down? No. So why would He start? Why would we ever think that He would start letting us down? Why would we ever think that He would fall short on His promises? All right? Now, I know it's like time change and everything, but you're delayed on your amens here this morning. I know y'all believe what I'm saying. But even amens are important because you're believing that God has been faithful in the past and you're believing He'll be faithful in the future. And if you want to be encouraged about that and you want to get excited about what God's doing now and in the future, then we have to amen what He's done in the past. Gratitude begins by remembering God's track record of grace and provision. God ain't never going to let me down. No matter what I do or how bad I am or how great I am or how even keel I get, God ain't never going to let me down. I come up here and preach the worst sermon I've ever preached, and God will still use it for somebody. I learned that the hard way a bunch of times. I almost got a job at a church. I went up here and preached through my sermon in 12 minutes. 12 minutes I went through that sermon, and I was driving home, and they're like, hey, can we hire you? I'm like, yeah, you want a 12-minute preacher. I know you do. I didn't go to that church. I didn't take the job. Y'all are like, what happened to them 12-minute sermons? This week, I want y'all to get in a habit of this week, spend some time and just out loud thank the Lord for things that He's done in the past in your life. Make a list. Sit down and just write stuff down. You and your family together, sit down and say, this is what the Lord's done for us. Thank the Lord for that. This is what the Lord's done at our church. Thank the Lord for that. See if it don't get you excited about your life. See if it don't get you excited about whatever. I mean, you can look at what's going on in the world if you want to. You can read the news if you want to. You can read how all these articles and blog posts and all these other social media posts are saying nobody wants to go to church, nobody loves God, and it's so hard to be a Christian, but that ain't the truth. The truth is the kingdom of God is still having His way, and ain't nobody going to be able to stop it. That's the truth. We have to decide what we're going to look at and what we're going to be a part of. I was asking Miss Frieda this morning, and I'm going to try to move on to the next one because I know y'all are like, it's past 12 minutes. Because I had to be reminded. I get confused between 2002 and 2012 for some crazy reason. My wife and I were baptized in 2002, February 2002, together. Y'all built this building in 2002. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and say y'all built this building for me. Y'all, when y'all built this building, from what the way I've been told by several of you, is your leadership and yourselves, the family, got together and said, we need a bigger church because we're outgrowing this building. Let's move closer to the community at the time. We got to get closer to the community. All right? So then y'all come over here and do this great thing. This is not a small thing, y'all, for a church to do, especially doing it on your own. It's easy to get money and pay somebody else to do it. Right? It's not easy to pay for it and do it yourselves. Praise the Lord, he brought the family together and had the ability and the willingness to do it. And look what's going on. 24 years, y'all having this building here. And if you haven't noticed, the community is swallowing this building up. Had no idea, did you? Had no idea what the Lord's doing. You had no idea the Lord was positioning Oak Grove right here for all these people that are moving here to hear the gospel. And I had no idea when I got saved in February 2002 that the Lord was doing what he's doing in my life and my wife's life so that we could all come here together and do it. Does that make sense? And I have to believe that when the Lord put you all to work to build this building on this property and do everything you've done, he had it in mind that we were going to come here and be a part of this. You understand? That's what the Lord does. Nothing is by happenstance. Nothing is by chance. It's like, oh, he wants to go there. Okay, I'll let him do that. No, this is what he had for us to do. It's what he has for y'all to do. If you're new to the church, if you've only been around several years, you're here on purpose, y'all. You didn't just show up for no random reason. Everything God does is intentional for his glory to help Oak Grove do what Oak Grove is supposed to do and every other congregation around the world. People have come and gone. People have passed away. A lot of people are getting baptized through here, getting saved. A lot more is going to. The reason I'm excited about where Oak Grove is going and what's going on right now is because I've heard about what God's done here. I've heard about what God's done in all y'all's lives. I've seen what God's done in my life. Right? He called me to be a preacher, y'all. Amen. You don't just take a truck driver, a hammer swinging truck driving good old boy, and say, go preach, unless you're God. Because there ain't no way that's going to work out. And if he wasn't doing what he's doing in my life and in your life, we'd have wrecked the plane a long time ago. And just every time I think I'm wrecking the plane, he shows up and says, I got this. I got it. And I'm like, of course you do. Of course you do. You've always had it. You always do have it. And there's times when it gets bad. You guys know what I'm talking about. There's times when life goes on and it gets dark. And you start getting doubt and fear and anxiety creeping in and taking over. And somehow God brings this message into your heart and into your mind. Remember that time we came out of the darkness? A couple years ago. Remember that time when I helped you get out of this? Remember that time when you thought it was bad, but it was actually really great because I was doing something you didn't know nothing about? Remember that? Memories are important. The past is a guidepost, but it's not a hitching post, y'all. There's a reason why the windshield's bigger than the rearview mirror. Think about it. All right. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 18 and 19 talk about, do not call to mind the former things. Behold, I am doing something new. That's just part of what all that's about. When Hebrews and the rest of the New Testament tell us to focus on Jesus, set your eyes on Jesus, set your mind on Jesus, as we've learned in our Wednesday night Bible study, keep focused on Jesus. Right? When Peter gets out of the boat and starts walking on water, it's because he's got his eyes on Jesus. And it's only when he looks back is when he gets himself in trouble. When he looks at something else, when he looks at back at how it, the safety of the boat that he was in, that he started getting in trouble. The past is a guidepost, but we're not hitching up our horses to it and camping out, right? Because God wants us to move on. He wants us to move forward. He wants us to go make disciples. There's no way that I'm going to believe that God did all this with y'all, with Oak Grove, just so we don't do anything. There's no way I'm going to believe that God knew that this community was going to blow up in population and allow us to just sit here and act like it ain't there. Am I right? I think it's obvious. There's no way that I'm, look, we're in a situation, Oak Grove, we're in a situation where we have everything we need to make disciples. I mean everything we need. We're lacking nothing. Most churches around the world, they're lacking one thing or another. And a lot of them, they don't have enough money to pay the bills, so they worry about that. Look at what the Lord's doing, y'all. We can raise clothes on a gift that our brother, Mr. Drake, give us after he passed away. We got resources that God has blessed us with since this church started. We don't struggle. Not because we're great people, but because God provides y'all. He set us up for success here. There's no reason for people not to hear the gospel from Oak Grove Christian Church. There's no reason for people not to be loved by Oak Grove Christian Church. There's no reason why God can't be glorified here at Oak Grove. There ain't no reason. I think it is happening. I think it's going on, y'all. I mean, if I wasn't saved and I came in here, I'd get saved. Just because I know y'all, it's obvious that y'all know God. It's obvious to me. When people come and visit, they come to me afterward and they say, you guys are so friendly. Everybody's so friendly around here. Everybody loves everybody around here. And I just tell them, I'm like, yeah, we do love everybody, but stick around. We know how to love each other. We know how to figure things out. We know how to surrender to the Lord. All right. This is it right here. Deuteronomy, you don't have to change it. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2 talks about talking to the God's people as they're in the desert, right? And they're being disobedient and they're having a bunch of doubt and fear and they're letting those emotions run their life. And God still provides for them and still stays with them and his promises are still true. Right? Let me get back on my right page. He says, Deuteronomy, just the verse 2 I want you to see. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you. It's what was said to God's people when they were coming out of Egypt, acting a fool, saying they believe but not acting like they believe. And God was faithful. And all through the Old Testament, if you're studying with us on Wednesday night, you can see where God says, if you just do what I say, go by my decrees, obey my laws, then you'll be blessed and I'll be your God and you'll be my people. And they're like, amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, let's go worship some other God. That's what happens. And then that fear and anxiety gets in control and they act like God's not there. And don't get all shaking your head like, man, them fools. No, that's what we do, y'all. That's why we need Jesus. I'm just trying to point out and encourage y'all, encourage all of us, as we move forward and as we see what God is doing and will do, let's look back, not to camp out, but to say, look at all the things that God has done for us. And look how faithful he is. What an amazing God we have. We remember not to return to the past, but to rejoice over the past. This is why, and it's easy for me to say because I didn't grow up here. I keep saying that. I didn't grow up here. I wasn't here for 54 years of my life in this congregation. It's easy for me to say, let's just run to the future and see what the Lord's doing. It is easy for me to say that because I didn't watch the community change the way it has. I didn't watch the old ways fade away like they have that are important to you. They should be important to you because they're a witness to what God has done in your life. But they're not for us to live in. And I think maybe that's why the Lord brought a young 54-year-old preacher in here. Why y'all laughing? I love you and the Lord loves you. He wants to do great things here. He is doing great things here. And we ought to be grateful. We ought to be thankful. We ought to talk about all the great things God has done more than we talk about some of the things that maybe should be different or could be different or wish we could have different or what is the fears of what he's going to do or what it's going to be like. All I know is every time God does something new, everything changes and it's all new. Hello? I know it's hard. I know you can say amen to that later after it happens and we can look back and then it's easy to say praise the Lord for the past. So in 10 years, let's look back and say, remember that time when we was talking about the old church and new church? Let's just praise the Lord for all the things he's done for the last 10 years. And that'd be 2035, 2036, if the Lord gives us time. Psalm 26, look at this right here, and I'm gonna be done. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. And some people, you know, some people's life, you know, they're just kind of born into a bad situation and they grow up in a bad situation and there really isn't any great things going on. They're out there. And if they could just somehow get connected to God, they would start seeing some things to be thankful for, even in the worst of the worst. Because before I knew the Lord, things weren't that great. I mean, there was my wife. That was pretty amazing. But growing up, that was challenging. There were some bad things going on. And I made my own messes that were also challenging. I can look back at all those things, and I can praise God that he was with me even though I wasn't with him. I can look at all those things and say, I should have died about 10 times. Most of them my own fault, but I could have, but I'm still here. I can think back about all those times when I said nobody ever told me about Jesus. But now that I'm on the other side of it all, I can look back and say, yeah, people tried. People tried. So I thank the Lord that he waited for me. I thank the Lord that he loved me enough to forgive me. I thank the Lord that he prepared this congregation for me and my wife to serve with back in 2002, right? I mean, who's going to listen to a gear jamming, hammer swinging knucklehead like me? You know? It's what the Lord does, y'all. Things are new. I'm not that guy no more. I'd drive a truck today if somebody gave me one to drive. It's just something about driving a truck. It's, you know, I don't think I'd go back to swinging hammers unless I have to, but we changed our invitation song this afternoon, so we're going to have to bear with us how it goes. I don't need that. I got this one. You need that one, though. We're going to sing this song. I know y'all know it, but just kind of try to listen to the track because they sing it different. I want to stand together, and I want to sing this song together as a song of praise and gratefulness to our God. If you're not saved, it's a good time to come down here and talk to me, and I'll help you understand.